Okay, well, good evening, guys. Welcome to part five of the series as we wrap it up. And I would love to tell you about an event that happened in the life of the Wiesners this week, which is my family. So my mom, like moms generally are, you know, she was in a rush, and you know, in a rush, you're looking for your keys, and then kind of you forget your phone, and then you're trying to use someone else's phone to phone your phone, and then you phone your phone, and you hear it vibrating somewhere, and then you find it, and rain was coming, so she wanted to get to the car, and she had to get to this event, and so she was under significant pressure. Now in her driveway is this pole and tree, kind of like the Garden of Eden, the tree of evil and evil. You know, and so there's this pole and this tree, and it's right in her blind spot. I mean, so guess what happens? So she reverses kind of in this rush, and I'm standing in the garden with my son Josh and working on the gate, and I hear this scratch. And it's just long scratch, kind of like a teacher scratching on the board. And just the sound went through my bones. Now, my mom, she climbed out of the car, and at first, I thought I saw smoke. But then I saw tears, and it was like I could almost see these words coming out of her mouth. I should have seen it coming. You know, it's like, how could I just should have seen it coming. You know, and these words are words of deep regret. I don't know if you've found yourself saying these words, I should have seen it coming. You know, I don't know if you've had moments like these. You know, how could I be so foolish? Maybe you've bought something. Like, I just should have seen it coming. You know, or maybe you've employed someone and you've experienced pain in that area. Or maybe you've dated someone and you're like, how could I have been so foolish? And it's like we have this blind spot. You know, that many of us, in fact, all of us, have these blind spots. You know, and sometimes I'm like, geez, why didn't I see it coming? And my worst phrase, I mean, the phrase that ticks me off, is after an event like this has happened, is the, I told you so. I don't know if you've got that before. You ever got the, I told you so comment? You know, but this comment, what it refers is that somebody did see it coming. You know, that it's so weird that somebody did see it coming, but I didn't, or you didn't, or my mom didn't. Now, I've been thinking for years and years and years, she should move that tree. She should get it cut down. She should move that pole. But she wouldn't listen to me. I mean, it's none of my business. And so I just kept quiet. But for many of us, we have that somebody who sees it coming. You know, we have that parent who sees it coming, but I don't want to hear it, you know? Or we have that spouse, and they see that 911, those warning bells go off. Or we have that friend. He just wants to say something, but waits till it happens and then says, I told you so. Now, why don't we see it coming, but everybody else does? Why does that happen? And I think it revolves around this word, emotion. You know, when you think about it, in high context of emotion, where there's anger, or where there's greed, you know, or where there's lust, or where there's love, we just love each other, or where there's this intense desire, you know, emotionally charged environments are not good decision-making environments. In fact, what emotion does is it makes the obvious less obvious. Now, it's one thing to scratch your car. It's another thing to permanently scratch your life. And we've been in a series called, Are You the One? You know, are you the one that I'm going to marry? Are you the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? Are you the one? Are you the love of my life? And tonight, we're going to speak about deciding on the one, on making that critical decision. And I pray that for many of us, it would avoid deep regret. You see, we are no different to a guy by the name of Solomon. You know, Solomon had blind spots. And Solomon was the king. You know, he was He was king of Israel, and he was king in Israel's golden age. And Israel was never going to have as much land as it had under his reign. And Israel was never going to have the reputation that it had under his reign. And King Solomon was referred to in that day as one of the wisest kings, if not the wisest king that ever existed. Wisdom just oozed out of this guy. But King Solomon, like you and like me, had blind spots. You see, King Solomon had problems like you and I have. King Solomon had pressure like you and I have. King Solomon had pride like you and I have. And the way King Solomon's life ends, it's one of the saddest stories you'll read. It ends in absolute ruins. And it could have been avoided if he had just asked one simple question. I honestly believe that. If he had asked a simple question, everything could have been so different. And I want to start by looking at the beginning of his life, where King Solomon makes these bad decisions. And he makes decisions around emotion. And he makes decisions where he doesn't see his blind spot. And he makes decisions that when you see this story, it's like, oh, there's deep regret. Solly, you should have seen it coming. And so we see in his first relationship, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. The very thing God told him not to do. Don't marry women from other nations. It's not prohibited. And that's what he told Solomon. And what does he do? He marries this little Egyptian beauty. And he brought her into the city of David. Now, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given by him, by his father David. So David raised him. David looked after him. David taught him. Said, listen, my son, this is how you walk with God. This is how you honor Yahweh. This is how you worship him. This is what you should and shouldn't do. And so David raised his boy. And Solomon listened to his dad, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places to other gods. And so we see immediately at the beginning of Solomon's real decision-making kind of manhood. He, maybe like any man, he makes decisions in these two areas around women and around worship. That if he had just asked the simple question, it could have avoided a train wreck. Now Solly is thrust into kingship and he's under significant pressure in this new role. At a young age, he's made king and he overtakes his dad's role. And he kind of has a help moment. And this help moment comes out in a dream. And so what happens is King Solomon, he goes to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. And Gibeon was the most important high place because that was the high place where Yahweh, you know, Yahweh didn't have a temple, so you would make sacrifices here. So Solomon goes up there and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. I mean 1,000. 1, 2, he kills this sheep, he kills that sheep, that little lamb. God help me, I'm seeking you, I'm under pressure, I need help, I've just been made king. Please, please God, would you help me? And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to him. And at Gibeon, God himself appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, Solly, ask for whatever you want me to give you. What do you want, my boy? And so Solly, he kind of in his dream prays this prayer. Now, Lord, my God, you've made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I don't know how to carry out my duties. I don't know what to do. I'm at a point road in my life. I don't know who to marry. I don't know what to do. I'm lost, God. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count, you know, or number. It's a huge responsibility, God. I don't know what to do. And so Solomon says, so give your servant a discerning heart. Please, God, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And so Solomon, under this pressure in his life, and doesn't know what to do, he makes this request for wisdom. And God is so pleased to answer this request. And he answers him. God says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. That Solomon didn't ask for other things. Can I have that car? Can I live in this house? Can I do this? Can I do that? No, no. God was pleased that he asked for wisdom. And so God says to him, since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but you've asked for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked, and I'll give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you. There's never going to be anyone like you, Solomon, nor will there ever be. And it's like, Solomon, God, I don't know what to do. The big decisions around who to employ first, around the temple and how to build it, around the battles he needs to fight and needs to avoid. And he asks God, and God gives him wisdom. You know, some of us have to do homework when it comes to maths. He could just get it. You know, some of us have to study or whatever. He just had wisdom. He knew how to make good decisions. And I want to show you signs of God answering his prayer historically. Look at this. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. In other words, this guy had intellectual horsepower. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East. All of the people gathered together, Solomon was wiser than them. And it was greater than all the wisdom of Egypt, which was kind of cutting edge in that culture and in that day. He was wiser than anyone else, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. People heard about this king. People heard about what he was saying. People saw how he was governing his people, and the reputation of Israel grew, and the accumulation of land grew. Did you know that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, little bite-sized axioms that he put into a book for all of us to read? You know, and all the nations' people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. I mean, they just lined up. One after, he had an appointment after appointment after appointment. The presidents wanted to meet with him. The administrators of the nations wanted to meet with him. Principals wanted to meet with him. They just lined up outside of his door. And Solomon solved problem by problem by problem. And he puts these things into the book of Proverbs. Now, what is very interesting to me about this little book of Proverbs is that it speaks more about getting counsel than kind of any other topic. I mean, it speaks about a lot of topics, but it speaks so much about getting counsel, about asking for help. And more than any other ancient writer that I know of, he speaks about getting counsel or asking for help. And when we're going to look at some of these proverbs, and these proverbs touch on the question that Solly should have asked in the areas that were ruining his life. He gave advice, he just didn't see it. You see, he had a blind spot. And he knew that other people had a blind spot. And he's like, the way you overcome a blind spot is you seek advice. And what is so interesting to me is that the one who needed advice least spoke about seeking advice most. I mean, more than any other ancient writer, he spoke about get advice, get wisdom, get help. Go and ask people to speak into your blind spots. I mean, listen to some of these proverbs. Let the wise listen. Let them listen and add to their learning, and let discerning get guidance. You want guidance? Go and listen. Go and ask. The way of fools, you know what a fool, it seems right to them. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry him. I'm going to take that job. I'm going to do this. There's a way, you know, the way of fools, it seems right to them. But the wise listen to advice. They ask this question that Solomon didn't ask. You know, plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. With many perspectives, they succeed. And where there is strife, where there's fighting, where there's conflict, there's actually pride. There's this, I don't care what you think, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. listen to advice, Solomon says, and accept discipline. And at the end of your life, at the end of your decision, at the end of the big thing that you need to deal with, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. And it didn't end this way for King Solomon. Solomon's saying that wise people, they seek advice. That's what they do. And what is so interesting is how Solomon's narrative changes. That the one who spoke most about seeking advice actually ignored his own advice. You know, we see it at the beginning of his kind of big decision-making career with his first big decision around marrying Pharaoh's daughter. You know, a decision probably immersed in emotion. And he didn't see it in his blind spot. He didn't seek advice. He ignored this advice of seeking advice. And he kind of does what many of us do. I'm going to follow my heart because I love her so much. Oh, that little Egyptian. She just does it for me. And that's what we all do, don't we? And this led to him making more bad decisions around marrying other women. I mean, look at this. King Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, on top of Pharaoh's daughter. And so right at the beginning, we see this issue in Solomon's life. And right at the end, we see it continue in the area of women. And we've spoken about this, that his present, it became his past, and then it popped up in his future. That his present, that he wouldn't ask this one question. And it kind of became his past. And now all of a sudden, it's popping up in his future. And it's biting him in the backside because he didn't ask this question. And we see it in the area of worship as well. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. He had drifted. He wasn't like his dad. He wasn't walking with God like his dad did. And the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice in a unique way, once at Gibeon in a dream and another at the temple that was built for him. And God was angry with him because he just was not willing to ask this one simple question. And God had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, but Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. And so the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you. I told you, Solomon, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. What led to Solomon's downfall? When you look at the frame of Solomon's life, at the beginning and the end, around women and Pharaoh's daughter, and then the other woman, and worship, and worshiping other gods as well as Yahweh, It wrecked him. God became angry with him. You know, and God's like, I can't trust the kingdom to you. I can't trust you with this. And he takes it away. And I think it's because Solomon wouldn't listen. You know, Solomon wouldn't listen to God's word. Solomon wouldn't listen to God's wise children. Solomon didn't listen to God's whispers. You know, Solomon didn't listen to God's word. The instructions I have given you, Solomon. And Solomon just didn't choose to listen in two areas because it wasn't convenient for him. And Solomon didn't listen to God's wise children that God had surrounded Solomon with. He didn't listen to his dad. And maybe he didn't listen to advisors. He didn't listen to his parents. And if he wasn't opening to listen to his parents, he wasn't going to listen to his friends. And he didn't listen to God's whispers. God's promptings, God's leanings where there is life and peace. Maybe he had anxiety and turmoil. And you look at his life, and God tears this kingdom away from him. And all of us read the story, and we're like, Solomon, you should have seen it coming. You know, the one who needed counsel the least, he speaks about it the most. And the one who speaks about it the most ignores it. And he makes decisions around emotion. And in this one area, he wouldn't listen to instruction. And why would you? I mean, if you were Solomon, why would you? You're famous. People are lining up. You know, you're giving advice. You're telling people how to live their lives. You're writing Proverbs. I mean, why would you take advice from everyone or anyone? This makes me tremble as a teacher or an instructor or trying to help other people live in some way that honors God. And yet I myself might have a blind spot. And this wrecked the economy of Israel. And it wrecked the military. And it wrecked his family. And it's because Solomon didn't ask this crucial question. You guys are sitting here like, Ryan, what is this question? If Solomon had just asked, what do you think? What do you think, God? What do you think I should do in the area of marriage and relationships? You know, God, what do you think I should do in the area of worship? Should I worship at that high place? Or should I worship you here? I mean, God, what do you think? If he had asked his friends, what do you think? This question, for me, is one of the most difficult questions to ask. Because it's a question that opens me up for people to share what they think. And when Kirsten and I were getting married, we didn't really want to ask this question. And it almost burnt us. And it almost injured us. And I've said, you know, God, I know that that was an area in the beginning of my life. Please don't let it be something that crops up at the end of my life. I don't want to have a life where I should have seen it coming. And I've seen in this area, couple after couple after couple, when they're dating and dating, they don't want to ask this question. They don't want to ask their parents. They don't want to ask their friends. It's amazing that people that are closest to me, that I'm walking with or loving and praying with, and we share stuff. I mean, deep stuff. But in this area, it's like, hey, Ryan, we're dating. I'm dating so-and-so. Oh, when did that happen? You know, or guess what, Ryan? We're engaged. Aren't you excited for us? Whoa, engaged to who? Where? When did this happen? Oh, Ryan, we're getting married. Never once was there a, hey, but I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Or to Chris, hey, Chris, I'm thinking about him. What do you think? Now, I'm not the knower of everything. And you know, it's not like what Ryan says goes. And my advice may be wrong. But I'm telling you, to ask this question sets you up to win. And I've been trying to think about this. Why don't we ask this question? I mean, why do we avoid it? And I think we saw in Solomon's very own Proverbs, it comes down to pride. You know, it's none of your business. And don't tell me what to do. Don't kind of tell me how to go about my dating relationships in this like crucial area. I'll date who I want, when I want, marry who I want, when I want. You know, or if we are going to ask this question, let's be honest. We ask people who are going to share what we want to hear. Well, so-and-so said it was fine to live with one another. You know, and so-and-so said that this was a good decision. I mean, then it's a good decision. And we avoid people who want to tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Or we don't ask this question because of pressure. You know, it's like, hey, bud, the venue's booked. I've bought the dress already. The ring is on. We're already engaged. We can't even go there. The pressure is on. We've sent invites to people overseas to save the date. So I'm not even going to ask this question. What do you think? Can I say, if you're going down that road as an engaged couple or as a dating couple, especially as a dating couple, if you're thinking about engagement, go on a premarital course. Go then. Don't leave it till you're engaged so that you can discuss all the topics that we've spoke about in this series and that you can make a wise decision, a lifelong decision, because who you date determines who you marry, and who you marry determines how you spend the rest of your life. And so who you date determines how you spend the rest of your life. You know, there's a friend of mine who's done a few weddings, and he takes photos of these weddings, and he's like, you know, Ryan, they're couples where I could have predicted it, that it ended in ruin. And I predicted that train wreck, and they didn't come and ask me, hey, you know me well. What do you really think? And Sammy's predicted, and you know, he's got it wrong, but it's really a great question to ask. Maybe you're married and you've got some big decisions to make. Decisions around building or moving or changing churches or raising kids or schools or whatever it is. It doesn't hurt. It's not going to hurt you to go to people that you trust and love and ask this question. Hey, what do you think? Ask for help, because we all have blind spots. And particularly in the area of emotion. It's like, I want this, I want this, I want this. Get out of the way. Don't get in my way. I'm going after it. I'm going, and it's going to scratch our lives. If you're not a Christian here today, this, I realize, is not a safe question to ask. The church might be the most intimidating place for you to be in. But God loves you. And he's forgiven you. And he's died for you. And he wants you to ask him, hey God, what do you think? What do you think about my life? About my scenario? About where I'm going? About the situation that I'm in? He wants to speak to you and guide you and prompt you and surround you with his wise children, because he loves you. And because it's safe. Because he's died for you. You know that you can ask him this question. You know, can you imagine if as a church, either we're single or dating or engaged or even married, can you imagine if we asked this question? If we surrounded ourselves with the right people, you know, that know us well, that love us, and that we asked this question, and that they didn't share with us what we wanted to hear, but what we need to hear. You know, I think like King Solomon, it'd be very different. Our narratives would be different. There'd be less broken hearts. There'd be less regret. There'd be less, I should have seen that coming. You know, so as we wrap up this series, I think it's been a great series. You know, I've heard a lot of feedback and really enjoyed it. And we've covered a lot of topics where God's personally challenged Kirsten and I, and I think I've heard has been a challenge to you. And I got feedback from a particular kind of group of ladies that I heard via the grapevine. And this group of ladies, an older group of ladies, they said these two comments that I haven't been able to shake off. Kind of kept me up at night a little bit. No jokes. And the first comment was, you know, I wish I had heard this before I got married. I wish I had heard all of these things before I'd even made that promise. And in that phrase, there's kind of deep regret. And that really saddened my heart. And then it was this phrase that was the clincher for me. But now I see where it all went wrong. And I'm telling you, and I'm pleading with you, that by asking this question, you can get it right this time. You don't have to say in your life, I should have seen that coming, or how could I have been such a fool? If you surround yourself with God's wise children, steep yourself in God's word, and will be sensitive to God's whispers, I really believe God can help us as a community make better decisions with fewer regrets. Would you ask God? Would you have the courage to ask your friends? And would you look into God's word and say, what do you think? What do you think about him? What do you think about her? Am I on the right track here? Is this going to hurt me, mom, dad? Let's pray together. God of heaven, where there is pride, there is strife. And there's resistance, and there's fighting, and there's hard-heartedness. But wisdom is found in those who ask for advice. Lord Jesus, I pray that our narrative would not be like King Solomon. I pray that our lives would not anger you. I pray that we would not become untrustworthy. God, that you would pull back from us. Lord, would you help us have the courage as a church to risk relationally and to go to people eyeball to eyeball and to ask, hey, what do you think? Lord Jesus, we are safe in your grace and in your covenant and in your forgiveness. May that give us the courage to ask this question. In your name we pray. Amen.